Good morning, this is Gaming Perspectives with
Saul
and Jolene, and today we're going to talk about a modern urban fantasy. Saul likes to give these things weird names. Supernatural, it's a genre game.
So Supernatural is a TV show, been around for 13 seasons. It's a, I'd call it a cult favorite show, a cult show, because I don't know how, you know, I don't know how its ratings are, but it's good enough to be on for 13 years.
I like it.
Yeah, well, I've started watching it, yes. It's basically a monster hunting show. It's about these two brothers who are monster hunters. They go out and kill monsters. And that's what the show's about. They ride around in their car looking for weird things happening. And then they go find out what the monster is, and then they kill it. So this is a perfect game for role-playing game.
Absolutely.
Right? This game is, it's actually became a role-playing game called Supernatural. It was by Margaret Weiss Productions, I believe is the publisher. And it uses the Cortex Classic system by Corey Banks or something like that. Doesn't matter. Maybe I'm wrong. Forget that. But anyway, so it uses the Cortex Classic system, which it uses all the polyhedral dice from D4 to D12. And you have attributes and skills. And all the skills and attributes are a die type. So you could have a D4 strength, a D6 dexterity, a D10 willpower. And then you have skills that are tied to those attributes. And those are also on a die type. And then when you're going to do something, use a certain skill, like climb. Let's say you're climbing. You add your strength die plus your climb skills die, whatever those two dice are. You throw those two dice, and you try to get over a target number.
You can't see me now, but my eyes have glazed over with all the chunkiness of this.
Oh, it's not even chunky. That's like super easy.
Okay.
Super easy.
It would be hard for me because I'd be sitting at the table going, now, which dice was I supposed to pick up? Because I have them all in front of me. Can I just roll them all?
No, but it was real. Well, you could, you know, it has a picture of the die that you have.
Oh, okay. I got it.
Yeah. Or you write in D6. And D, you know, for...
I understand.
It's super easy. A lot of people don't like the system because it's kind of like old school. It's, you know, it's kind of like... they think it's too chunky or... what's the term I use? Not chunky.
I don't know.
I totally forgot about it.
Clanky?
Well,
it was one of those. Crunchy. That's
crunchy,
what it is.
Crunchy, yes. I almost had a senior moment. So I really like the system because it's super easy, right? It's pretty straightforward, and so it doesn't get in the way of my role playing, right, or my game. It's kind of, I consider
nothing rules gets like, in the way of your game.
Yeah, well, you know, never know. So it's super easy. I think it's easy system to do.
And you and I have talked about this before. Saul likes all the different gaming systems that are out there, and he likes to use them all because, you know, you should use them because they're there. But if you don't like this particular one, you could always change the rules and just use D20 rule, or not D20, is that it? Or 2D or whatever. He says you can change the rules if you need to.
Well, I mean,
or use a different set of rules.
Dungeons & Dragons, there's a couple of supplements out there that have made modern game type of...
D20 modern or D20 something?
No. Well, D20 is like the old system.
Okay,
like
fine.
Third edition. But fifth edition rules, they've actually come out with modern settings. One of them is Ultra Modern 5, I think it's called. And they basically use the fifth edition rules and port it into a modern day game type setting. So you can, you know, use modern day. But, you know, but you can do that. But it seems like a lot of work. When this system, this Cortex Classic, is pretty easy, and it powers other games, right? Or it's used in other games, like Battlestar Galactica. I think is the first system that used the Cortex Classic system, but it wasn't called Cortex Classic back then. It was just called the Cortex system.
So it's easy to learn and easy to use once you know what you're doing.
Oh, Firefly, not Firefly, but what's the name of that show? Firefly.
Serenity.
Serenity.
It could be Firefly.
No, I think it's Serenity. Okay. Serenity is also powered by the Cortex Classic system. And I really like, you know, like I said, I like the intellectual properties, right? I love Battlestar Galactica. I like Supernatural a lot. And I love Firefly, you know, that classic SF show that ended a little bit too soon. So you got this real simple system, and it works. I think it works fine. And you have this show. Monster hunting. Well, why do I like it? Well, one is you don't have to do much for a setting, right? It's a modern setting,
In fact, the hunters, the way they find Sam and Dean, the way that they find their next case is going through the internet or going through newspapers and finding the weird things. So one thing that's great about this show is that it's the Americana in it. The fact that they drive a muscle car. I don't know which car it is. An Impala. Yes. They listen to hard rock music.
Rock and roll music.
Absolutely.
Yes.
They fight the bad guys. It's a black and white kind of show. You know, there's...
Usually.
Okay. So it is a black and white show. They're the hunters and there's the monsters. The hunters kill the monsters.
Yes.
But there's all kinds of other things involved in the show. Dilemmas like, you know, you gotta... One, it's in a modern setting. So... Everybody knows the world, and you also know that you don't go into a bar and kill something with a bunch of people standing there watching you, because then they're going to call the cops.
Right, exactly. And then you know, and then you're you know, you got a murder rap, right? Because nobody's going to believe that they're a monster unless they really turn into a monster.
And Sam and Dean, of course, are on wanted posters all over the place, and yes. The FBI is always looking for them.
but they're really, you have a little bit of suspension of disbelief or such. Whatever it's called, it's a role playing game. I mean, it's a TV show, so you know, you think, well, would they really be able to get away with all the stuff that they get away with? The answer is probably not, but it's still fun to watch these guys go around. And the thing is that, you know, they let's say they hear about a weird murder. Usually it's a grisly murder. It looks ritualistic or something weird like that. Or like they'll have like I kind of used it in my Dresden Files. I had somebody get killed and it was a grisly murder in a park, right, in the middle of Monterey to start off the game. And then when the characters went to the police station or try to figure out, you know, they're asking questions. Well, we believe it was either a pack of wild animals or dogs or a cougar. Now, there's no cougars in Monterey. I mean, maybe up here in the Bay Area by Stanford, where there's a lot of wildlands. I mean, but for a cougar to get to the middle of Monterey.
I'm sure there's mountain lions down there.
There's mountain lions, but they're usually way far away from civilization.
So it is plausible.
It is highly unlikely.
Remotely plausible.
So when I said that it was a cougar attack, all the players look at me going, that's crazy. I'm like, well, that's what they're saying.
Just in case you don't know, a cougar and a mountain lion are the same thing.
Yes, right. Yes, cougar and mountain lions. So that's what happens with them, right? They go in, and the cops have usually no idea what's going on. So they're at a loss for information. And they usually come in and pretend they're FBI agents, right?
Yes.
And they give themselves names of members of rock bands, right?
Yes.
Like, you know, all kinds of different weird names. So that's one of the little things that people look
the
for.
Sticks,
yeah, is to see which band they're going to use the names for.
So this is a genre game, right? So it's a right. specific genre. So you're going to run into people who know the world backwards and forwards. But for this particular genre, it doesn't matter because, like I said, you're finding out your information from the newspaper or the internet. You're looking for your next case, or you could be somewhere and a grisly murder takes place. And so it's a lot of it has to do with the fact that when I say it's a black and white game, it's a good versus evil, right? God versus Satan.
Yeah, good
you know,
and evil.
There's angels and demons.
Right.
There's monsters and hunters. There's witches that may be good or maybe bad. It depends. So you got to watch out for some of the characters. And then they've come across a lot of ethical dilemmas, right, too? The fact that, you know, there's a pack of werewolves and maybe they don't kill the people anymore, but they kill cows and
right.
different kinds of things. So there's all kinds of aspects to this game that are part of the genre, but also it's a great role-playing game because that's basically what you're doing in role-playing games, right? You get a mission and whatever your mission is, and this is a supernatural, so... this mission is going to be to go and kill something that's supernatural, like
or maybe
a Wendigo,
it, right?
or
Most
likely you're going to kill it.
Most time they kill the monster, but every once in a while they come across a monster that either killed a person by mistake or is trying to not kill people and is like the werewolves who only hunt cows.
But if look at the different hunters, there's different aspects, right? Sam is a guy who thinks about stuff, right? Dean is a guy who goes in, he thinks about stuff, but he doesn't let it bother him. He's
right.
a true hunter,
he's
right?
He's more action-oriented.
Yeah, so he's going to kill it if it's a monster.
And Sam is more of a...
Well, maybe we shouldn't have killed
yes.
it. You killed it, but she was nice.
Yes.
And but, you know, that kind of thing, so...
You kill the monster, but it was a
But that's like
monster.
Any role-playing game, right?
That's true. That's true. You come across that in just fantasy games, too. So what I like about this game is, one, is the setting, right? It's modern day. You don't have to explain people what's going on. You don't have to explain cell phones. You don't have to explain Google, because that they use Google in the game.
Yes.
I mean, in the show. You don't have to explain anything, because it's the world we live in, except there's monsters in it. And in this world that the game takes place, there's a few people who know about monsters, and usually they hunt them or keep track of them, or somehow, you know, there's a network of hunters out there that help each other out in certain situations. So it's a real easy game to get into, the buy-in, or there's no info dump that
the
you have
hook
to
is
do.
The hook is easy. There's a Wendigo out there or a shapeshifter, and you gotta go and
well, I'm talking about the info dump, right? Like, when I run Tecamel, I gotta give at least 15 minutes talk about what
and then
the world
people's
delivers.
Eyes glaze over.
Yeah, and that's what you don't want, right? There's no none of that. There's no eyes glazing over while you.
Although with Tecamel, I don't think that's the way it happens, because a lot of those people go specifically to that game because they've already know the Tecamel universe.
Yeah, sometimes. But there's other ones like if you run a Star Trek game and they all Trekkies, then you don't have to explain anything.
No,
about
you don't
Star
have
Trek.
To explain anything.
But if you have this weird game that nobody's heard of with a weird. Or a homebrew fantasy world where, you know, you're talking about, you know, the court intrigue or whatever, then people's eyes might glaze over. But if you run a Game of Thrones game,
they
don't understand it, right? If you're dealing with people who are fans of the show or show
so
and book.
Saul finds that an interesting aspect of running any game at a convention.
Yes.
Discovering whether the people who are playing in your game are a fan of that genre or not. And there's good and bad aspects of that, right? So a Supernatural fan is going to love anything you do. I guarantee it. They're just going to go, we got to go kill monsters.
It just reminds me. So I tried running this with my friends, right? Because I'm like, I want to run Supernatural, right?
And
so
I think you've told this story before.
I don't know if I told it, but let's go over it again since we're talking about Supernatural. So we're here in my living room and we're playing a game, and I have about four of my friends over, so there's five of us playing. It's my brother, Don, Chris, and somebody else.
Sip,
probably. So half of them had seen the show maybe a few times. I had seen the first season probably, and the other people had never seen the show, especially Don and Chris. So we're playing the game, and this is and the hunters are like, you know, outside the law, right? You know, they're kind of rebels, right? You know, they exist outside the law because they're killing monsters that usually take the form of people, right?
He exaggerates the story.
The form of people. So am I exaggerating so far? No. So we're playing the game. And at one point, I think it was Chris, he goes, we should go to the police with this because this is too much for us to deal with. And my wife was watching television on the couch, Jolene was, and she's like, she goes, what are you guys, you can't go to the police. And I literally had to keep telling her, honey, you're not playing the game. You know, please be quiet. Let us play the game. So they kept going, doing that kind of stuff, like doing like things that hunters wouldn't do in the show and you wouldn't do in the role-playing games because, you know, a lot of times you're in trouble, right? Because you live, you know, think of a hunter as a guy, you know, these two brothers in the show. They're roaming around in the United States. They don't have jobs. They don't have no stream of income. So what do? They run scams. They steal credit cards. They steal from ATMs. So they're, you know, so they're kind of wanted everywhere they go. They're kind of like they're criminals. So as a criminal, you're not going to go to the police and say, you know, there's a monster, you know, there's a vampire over there, and you need to go and kill him with silver bullets and put a stake through his heart. And the person that you're describing is the mayor of the city, right? And the cop's going to look at you and go, like, you're crazy. So that's what my friend Chris was trying to say. He was like, well, we should go to the cops with this information. He's bound to, like, yeah, he's bound to look at you and throw you silver bracelets on you and throw you in a padded room. So Jolene keeps interacting. You know, intruding in my game. And finally I said, you know what, honey, if you want to play, get off the couch and come to my game table. And that's exactly what
she did. I really
didn't
want to play, but I couldn't help it.
She really didn't want to play. And so, yeah, this is before she really started playing role-playing games. So she comes over and she starts playing the game. And it was...
Since I was the only one who knew what was going on in this world because they hadn't watched the show.
So then Don, my friend, who... was a little bit weird about the whole game because he's like, you know, he didn't really know what's going on. He went home, watched it on Netflix, and then binge watched it, right? So he's like, oh my God, this is a great show. And so the next time we played, he was like, right, oh, you know, he was on it, right? He knew, you know, what to do. he was very, you know, Sam and Dean, like, you know, it was very, you know, he really took to it with like a duck to water, right?
It's an investigative investigative game, right? Yes. Where you have to figure out who you need to kill or whose bones you need to burn in salt, things like that, you know, supernatural stuff.
Yeah. So, but that's another thing I like about this game. It's not just a monster hunting game where you're going to go into a dungeon and kill the monster. You know, you really have to figure out we got to figure out what kind of monster it is. And then you got to figure out who the monster is, because usually it can disguise themselves as humans, regular humans and stuff like that. So, but they might, you know, throw off scents, or they might have like weird eyes if they reflect on a camera when you take a picture of them, or weird things like that.
And the great part about this game is that when in the investigation, you're going through lore. So those people who love the idea of Arcana in D&D, I don't know what they call it, you know, where you're in other games, but when you're doing actual research into what's going on, you get to go through all the old books. And in fact, in the show, Supernatural, they have a hunter who literally has like a library full of all the books that would tell you things like the history of angels and all the lore on Christianity and other religions, plus Native American religions. And and so you know what a Wendigo is, or a shapeshifter,
skinwalker.
A skinwalker, different things like that.
And the weird thing is you can literally go on Google and Google this stuff up, and you know, and if you want, you can have them, go ahead, Google it on your phone, see what happens.
In fact, Saul was talking to me about this idea about scaring your players. And I said, well, you're not really going to scare anybody who's playing a role-playing game, but if people have... This actual role playing game would bring out some people's superstitious fears, right? You know, like when something goes bump in the night.
Oh yeah.
Do you ignore it, or do you believe that it's something
that's coming after you? Yeah, ghosts and spirits. They deal with a lot of ghosts and spirits, and I'm really fascinated by the amount of monsters that they've fought and where they pull these monsters from, because they come from all kinds of different religions.
Legends.
Cultures and legends and stuff like that. And some of them are like, wow, I never even heard of this monster. And you know, you look it up and there is this, you know, the monsters that they use come from some obscure religion or lore.
Well, not only that, but they also have organizations of bad guys. And my son's always talking to me about the Illuminati, because when he's on YouTube, he watches all these weirdos talk about that. But there are like these organizations of Nazis who have survived and by, you know, killing people and using their blood and all kinds of weird things. And then there's the Men of Letters, which comes about later on in the show.
Yeah.
They discover that their father was, or their grandfather was a Men of Legend, who is basically a secret organization that hunts monsters in a way and kills them. But they also have these books meticulously kept with all the notes of all the monsters. And Sam and Dean end up, you know, going into this bunker.
Basically it's a bunker,
and discovering that, you know, they're part of this thing. They've always been part of it on both sides of their family, because their mother comes from a hunting family. Literally, she's the hunter, and their dad didn't know that, and she gave it up when she married him. And so there's all kinds of, it's a really good story, but it's also, it opens up all these possibilities for, you could run this game with people who like the supernatural stuff, and it would be really cool.
It's a monster hunting game. So you know, there's different ways to get rid of certain kinds of monsters. Some of them, you know, are, you know, lore, like everybody knows about werewolves and Wolfsbane or whatever it's called. And
Silver bullets
and vampires and wooden stakes. And
it's always best to cut off their heads, though, too.
Okay, there you go. Exactly. So people know.
And burn the body. Always burn the body.
And so people kind of have an idea of, you know, what certain monsters can do and what they can't do. But that's what I really like, when they really delve into these weird, obscure monsters or weird monsters that you haven't really heard of. And so you might have to investigate of how to kill it.
They also deal with cursed items, which is one of those things that, you know, when you're playing D&D, there's always the chance that there's going to be a trap. There's going to be a cursed item that you find, different kinds of things like that. So,
yeah, I think there's a wealth of different kinds of things that you can do with your players in this game, because it's, like I said, it's really fun. It's I like the setting. I like the rules, because it's kind of simple. And like I said, you can really, you know, come up with your own monster and lore, and you know, and you know, if you really wanted to, you could make your own webpage, right, and have them go to that webpage and stuff. To
oh, that sounds like that. A lot of work. But also, one of the things is that the supernatural beings are more powerful than the hunters.
Right, some of them are.
I mean, you're dealing with gods and angels and demons and yes. Actually Lucifer in a cage in hell.
Whoa,
so.
Whoa, easy there.
So they're much more powerful. Angels are much more powerful in this one. Vampires are pretty powerful.
Yes. So they have to be smart. The players have to be smart because they can't, you know, just go into a vampire's nest and be able to defeat them. You know, you have to have a plan. Or you have to have a, you know, yeah, you have to have a plan or a better way of doing it than just rushing in and you know, thinking that guns are going to, you know, settle or win the day.
It's always good when the monsters are stronger than your players because that gives them a goal to figure out a way to kill them.
Right.
You can't just necessarily go straight at them with an axe, although sometimes you can. It's probably best not to do that with a being that can, you know, show you his wings and kill you.
Right. No, I totally agree. I think when you come up across those kind of situations, it makes you think. It makes the players think. I think it makes you try to come up with a different alternative ways of doing things, which is what role-playing games do, is they make you think. You know, you have to kind of think outside the box.
And players always come up with different ideas anyway than what you're thinking in your head that they're going to do.
Yes, so that's a good thing too, though. But when they're coming up with ideas and they come up with a strange way of doing it, and you think about it and go, man, that would work pretty good, or that would work pretty well. And, you know, and that's what I like about role-playing games is when the players surprise you. Now, most times the players are always going to surprise you because they don't think exactly the way you think. But
They never do.
But that's the part of it. That's the fun part about GMing in my experience is that I get entertained by them coming up with these crazy ideas to solve the situation that they're in.
So sometimes this game gives you all kinds of opportunities, all kinds of games to run. Like you can run the straight kill the monster right. game. You can run a why is there an investigative game where you have to figure out why people are suddenly just dropping dead or going into comas.
Right.
Maybe they are listening to some music on the radio. Or,
yeah.
Or, you know, and you can't figure out what's going on. Maybe there's a zombie outbreak. You know, there's all kinds of different things that you can do. The angels have come to Earth and started killing certain people. You know, there's lots of different scenarios that you can come up with for this game. And there's tons of, you can watch the show and come up with all kinds of ideas your own ideas.
Right.
And figure out if you watch the show, which I suggest if you're going to run the game.
Yes.
Then you have an idea of what your players who watch the show, the things that they know already, right? So, and if people don't know about it, like Saul said, there's not a lot to explain in the world other than, you know, they can tell by the title of the game, Supernatural, that there's going to be something weird going on, right?
And I'm sure most of the people who've been around role-playing games have probably heard of Supernatural, the show, and probably maybe seen or have an idea what it's about. And if you don't, you can just look it up and read articles. There's, you know, there's even fans, there's, you know, what do they call them, conventions.
Yeah.
There's like, you know,
convention. There's a ton of them every year.
Yeah. And so, and you know, and just like most fan conventions, like Star Trek, you know, these actors go to them and they interact with fans and they deal, you know, they take pictures with them and stuff like that. So that's pretty cool. I've never gone because they're ridiculously expensive.
Most conventions are expensive.
That's true.
Especially fan-based conventions.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm a fan of the show. I think I'm only on like season 10. I think they're on season 13. And so it's obviously very popular. There's 13 seasons of show.
Of lore out there for you.
Yeah, that you can pick from. And, you know, you could just pick a monster and change it a little bit and run a game. And so I was just going to say that a couple of my games that I run for that I run under Dresden Files, using the Fate rule system, I could easily port into this system.
We'll have to talk about the Fate system and Dresden Files on another episode because we're going to run out of time.
What I'm saying is that you could take almost any kind of supernatural game system or adventure and port it to this system. It's easy.
So if players are going to play in this game with you, if you don't know them, if something freaks them out or something, you know, because some people have some weird superstitions and stuff, they may not want to play. I'm just telling you that it's a fun game, but I know some people are a little skittish, freaky about the supernatural.
but
you learn a lot in this game, you know. Always salt the bones and burn them.
Salt and burn. Yeah, I remember that was one of the things that Jolene was screaming at them. He goes, "You got to find the body, the bones of the creature and the ghost, and burn them." And they're like, "What are you talking about over there?" And so, no, that was before she joined the game. She was trying to play from the couch.
I wasn't.
Yes, she was. So, Supernatural, fun game, old game. It's not in publication anymore, but you can find it on eBay for like $10. You find it in people's and go to the flea market. It's there, usually.
Or if you go to a used bookstore, sometimes you can find people's poor guys' books that their girlfriend or wife has made them get rid of.
Yes, yeah, and so I really like it. Like I said, it's easy. It's not all that difficult to get into.
It's a great modern fantasy game.
Correct. And I think it's a lot of fun. And so go out there, go digging through eBay and your old used bookstores and try to find a copy of this game. It's super fun and super easy. And watch the show, and that's all you need to know about the genre.
So if you need a new game to run, or you want to surprise your friends with something different, or you've already been running this game, sorry, this isn't going to help you. But
or if it's been sitting on your shelf and you're like, nah, I don't know about the rules or whatever, just run it. It's a romp. It's a good monster stomping fun.
Yes.
So this is Gaming's Perspective with Saul
and Jolene.
And you have a good day.